the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to part one, or part two, whichever one you've listened to first, of the Specials podcast this week. This one is concerned with BBC Sports Personality of the Year, one of the hotly contested betting heats in the world of TV and specials. Delighted to say that, as well as reality Rob Dixon on the line. Hey, Rob.
Good morning.
We've got one-time Specials podcast regular, Dave Keller.
Hello!
Wow, what a treat, Rob. We've got Dave in the house.
The good news is at least we can double our listeners, can't we, now that Dave's back on?
Because what? Because our friend David Bell will listen.
Definitely.
Exactly. Hello to you. We are going to talk about Spotty on this podcast. The other one concerns itself with the final of Strictly Come Dancing and some Christmas specials. Let me give you the odds for BBC Sports Personality first of all. Andy Murray, 4-6. Hold it. 2-1 Jess Ennis Hill, 7-1 Kevin Sinfield, 14-1 Tyson Fury, 25-1 the price for Lewis Hamilton, 66 is Chris Froome, 100 is Mo Farah, 150 is Greg Rutherford, and then 250-1 for Adam Peaty, Lizzie Armistead, Lucy Bronze, and Max Whitlock. Last time you two chatted, Andy Murray was 5-1.
He was, and apparently that was factored into the price as well of Great Britain winning the Davis Cup. Rob, any corrections you want to make there?
Got it wrong, Dave. it doesn't make any difference, does it? If you get it wrong, nobody bats an eyelid. If I get it wrong, we lose millions. So there you go. No, I mean, I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought 5-1 was short enough leading up to the Davis Cup final. So,
yeah.
Obviously, the fact that it was on the BBC, it did get, I think it got a lot more exposure than I thought it was going to get. Yeah, we saw plenty of money from 5-1 downwards. He got as short as 2-5 at one point.
Did he really? I didn't see that.
No, he did. He did go massively short. He's drifted out now. He drifted back out to evens. But then once he confirmed his sort of participation on the event in Belfast on Sunday, then he's shortened again now. And you kind of think that they wouldn't sort of get him to turn up, change most of his sort of training program because he's getting ready for the Australian Open.
Yeah, because when he won it last time, he was in Miami, wasn't he?
No, exactly. They did it sort of via video link, a pretty tedious video link where there was about a 15-second delay, so yeah. The jokes were lost. So there you go. But yeah, I mean, 4-6 now, it's...
I couldn't touch it at 4-6. I just couldn't. I couldn't get involved.
I wouldn't want to be a backer at 4-6. But no. when you're clutching those 10, 9, 8-1 slips, and you've got 5-1 prior to the Davis Cup, you're in a good position.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely.
I'm with you actually, Lee. Now I think 4-6 is skinny enough. Have you seen support at 4-6, Rob? By the way,
pardon, sorry.
Have you seen support at 4-6?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's our worst result out of the 12, albeit.
I hope he wins then.
He's still obviously a decent winner, but yeah, I mean, 4-6. It's been the last sort of 24, 48 hours at the 4-6. It's just started to get sort of busier again. As obviously, the people are putting it in sort of accumulators for the weekend as well. So, I mean, it's difficult to know. We do tend to get a gamble on the day,
yeah,
in this sort of thing. So
the interesting thing is with just while we're nailing colours to the mast, any regular podcast listeners will know that we tipped up Jess Ennis Hill at about 6s or 8s when she was winning the World Championship. So you know, if you're on that slip, then that's good. Kevin Sinfield, obviously, Rob, you know, you're on at a big price for Kevin Sinfield, aren't you? Yeah. Is that to win or is that each way?
No, it's each way, 66-1,
which is nice. So we'll talk about him in a minute. Tyson Fury, anyone who kind of thought, right, yeah, I'll get on this bandwagon when he beats Klitschko, is probably thinking, yeah, may as well tear this one up. He has obviously not got many friends. Came across okay on the preview show the other night, but all he was really doing was walking his dog on a beach. Interesting though, his wife kind of was saying, you know, I try and tell him to do this and try and tell him to calm down, and but he don't listen to me. Lewis Hamilton, 25-1. A lot of people on Twitter saying, hang on a minute, guys. Lewis Hamilton gets support from places where we don't expect it. We didn't think he'd be the man to win last year. Rory McIlroy looked home and hose really last year. Yeah, he romps in really with, you know, 34% of the vote 210,000 votes, just under. Rory McIlroy back on 124,000 and 20%. I mean, he absolutely smashed it last year. I mean, why would his... Last year, to be outside of the top three, you had to have 75,000 votes. You know, Joe Pavey got 100,000 to go third. Charlotte Desjardins, 75,000. Does he drop off that much? Where do his fans go?
I think that was a terrible Sports Personality of the Year. Maybe. You look at the the personnel back in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, even.
Well, they're all women, so we're not casting aspersions.
No, I would never cast aspersions. I'm talking we're talking minority sports there, though, aren't we?
It wasn't a great
with people aren't very well known. This time round, I think we've got a lot of personalities that are well known. The first seven in the betting, for instance, they're some of Britain's greatest ever sportsmen and women. Never mind just in this year. Andy Murray, obviously. Involved in that golden age of tennis alongside some of the best tennis players ever. Jessica Ennis-Hill, so long the golden child, the golden girl of female athletics. Kevin Sinfield, who's been a legend in his own right in rugby league. Tyson Fury just won the world championship heavyweight title. Lewis Hamilton, who's won this before and been placed twice in Sports Personality. Chris Froome, who won the Tour de France. And Mo Farah, who's a legend in terms of long-distance running. So it's a much stronger field than it was last year when Lewis Hamilton won.
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from with Lewis Hamilton. I just don't see how... We're betting a third 1-2 here now, Rob. I don't see who he knocks out of those top two places with Murray, Ennis-Hill and Sinfield. And Sinfield's the one that worries me personally. Having backed Murray at good prices, we've seen a couple of big moves landed and orchestrated gambles, and this looks like another one of them. AP McCoy was an orchestrated gamble when he won it back in 2010. Ryan Giggs, there was a sustained move for him in 2009 as well. That's what concerns me with Sinfield.
Yeah, but how big a gamble? Because it's funny, because we're based in Leeds, big rugby league heartland. Barry McDermott, who's a Leeds Rhinos legend, has been really at the forefront of the campaign to get Kevin Sinfield. They've been running this thing which is buy Kev a pint, which is people saying up here, you know, if you spend £3 on voting for Kevin Sinfield, same as buying him a pint, really, I suppose. The interesting thing is, though, it's not
a lot
crashed
of people
in,
up
though,
here, though, would rather buy themselves a pint.
That's true.
Than vote.
We've been through this week after week, Rob, but we'll just run through the arguments very quickly again. Kevin Sinfield really needs every rugby league fan to vote for him. That's debatable whether that'll happen because of the rivalries and the fact that Leeds Rhinos are kind of held up a bit like a Manchester United are in soccer, whereby, you know, they're not always the most liked. Kevin Sinfield, you wouldn't say, is the most liked. So can rugby league as a family join together to push him over the line? Now, the other thing I'd say, though, here, he's 7-1. If he'd crashed into anywhere near even money, I'd be all over that. I'd say there's a betting thing behind it. What I've said to people in the rugby league game is you'd be better off getting the non-rugby league people involved on a betting basis because then they will invest money. If you had a tenner on at 10-1, you'll spend £20 on phone calls, not £3.
Yep.
That's where they think they could fall down. And let's just go back through who's, you know, to win this award, going back to 2009, AP McCoy got just under 300,000 votes to win it. 170,000 for Mark Cavendish in a very weak year in 2010. This isn't a weak year, as DK explained earlier. Massive voting numbers back in 2012 when Bradley Wiggins polled just under 500,000 votes. You needed 230,000 to finish third that year when Andy Murray finished third. 2013, 400,000 won it for Andy Murray. To be fair, 57,000 got third place for AP McCoy. And last year, as we know, 210,000 for Lewis Hamilton. So you do need around the 200,000 mark on a normal year. He may need even more than that. So I can't see him winning it. It's just whether he can get into the top three. At 7-1, it's not big enough to be back in at third the odds for a place in the top two, I don't think, is it?
I think it's tough now. I don't know what you think, Rob, but I think the betting looks about right to me. Kevin Sinfield's come into that natural price, and as Lee mentioned, that price, because there isn't... he's the only one that's... There's a campaign behind him to win it. I've not seen anything like that for any of the other contenders, but the betting for the outright now looks just about spot on to me.
Spotty on. I can't see. I still think we were talking about Lewis Hamilton a minute ago. I think Hamilton should be shorter than
Tyson. He's the value, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the only one that's value.
I mentioned that last week in the hope that another firm would put out a match bet of the two, but they never did. So, I mean, the Sinfield, the latest on the Sinfield thing is that I think rugby league fans will get behind him. I've seen Sean Long tweet in the last few days.
That's a rugby league player, though.
Yeah.
It's all right, Sean Long getting behind. Just because Sean Long says it, doesn't mean...
This is a legend of another rugby league club saying, let's get, as a community, let's get behind rugby league. Let's forget the fact that he's a Leeds Rhinos player. Let's forget that rivalry.
The fact that he's a rugby union player as well, though?
Sinfield.
Yeah.
That's three games in. Nobody's interested. Though, interestingly, on the Rhinos website this morning, he's got more support as well from Sean Edwards as well. So that's obviously, there is a league union crossover there.
I've got a little story about Kevin Sinfield, by the way. So I'll tell it now.
Yeah, go
on. It's very quickly. I'm a part-time cyclist, so I don the helmet and all that, and I go through traffic on my way in. And I was coming just past...
Oh, one of those, are you?
He is a helmet, Rob. Never mind donning one.
Okay, he is a helmet, and he's causing problems on the road when I'm trying to get into work.
I'm going through... I'm going under the arches near Leeds train station, just going past there, so it's all covered over. There's two lanes of traffic. I need to be over on the right-hand side of the far lane, and I'm in the middle, and there's a gap.
Yes.
There's a gap. But it's hard to look behind and keep cycling. It's moving, obviously. I'm looking behind. There's a red car I can see out the corner of my eye. And he closes the gap really tight. And I wasn't going to go. And I wasn't going to give him any stick. I was just going to go like, all right, mate, you could have let us in. Turn around. Kevin's in for
really?
So I quickly changed my mind and waved at him. And he went, he gave me the thumbs up because I've interviewed him. Well, but I had to race off in front of him.
Even though I'd backed Andy Murray, I would have been voting for Kevin Sinfield had he got just that little bit tighter.
Exactly.
Had he got that little bit tighter.
If it had knocked me off a bike, that'd have been amazing. I'd have sued him.
I'd have been on the pint if he'd run you over.
Yes. So I could have said BBC Sports Personality of the Year potential winner.
He's telling this story in the other opinion as well, isn't he?
But he's saying, I know not this lad off who once interviewed me.
He sat there.
I know that guy that does that specials podcast. I nearly knocked him off his bike.
He sat there at Edinley yesterday morning and some idiot in the middle of the road. Cyclist, they've got a cycle lane. Why is he in the middle of the road?
Well, don't get me started. No cycle lanes around Leeds City Centre. I'll tell you that for nothing, Mr. Dixon. Back to this. We've got some... the top three finish is probably the market then that we need to look at here. And it's interesting. Obviously, you're Andy Murray, you're Jess Ennis and you're Kevin Sinfield. All odds on, big odds on as well in the case of Andy Murray. So Lewis Hamilton... I mean, 25-1 to win it, 7-4 to finish in the top three. He's the only one who can finish in the top three away from the top three in the betting there.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's why if you're having a bet, I think 7-4 is not bad on Lewis Hamilton. It's just very difficult to envisage a scenario where either Andy Murray or Jessica Ennis Hill are out of the top three. So you're shooting for one place there. And if this Sinfield gamble does snowball on the night, your cash could be down the drain on Hamilton at 7-4. But you look at Hamilton's record, even though people think he's not well liked, petrolheads vote in this competition. They absolutely love it. Lewis Hamilton obviously won it last year. We've seen Damon Hill, who's won it a couple of times, I think. And we've had other motor racing winners as well.
And Damon also won it when he didn't win the World Championship as well, the year that Schumacher took him out at Adelaide in
Mansell's won it.
That must have been a weak year that year. But you're right, though.
Hamilton's been second a couple of times as well in 2007,
absolutely.
2008. So
I think there's also quite a good reason that, obviously, with sports personality being around Christmas, the Formula One season's normally the last sort of... I know the Davis Cup sort of changed that this year, but normally the Formula One World Championship's the last event, really, of the calendar where you can sort of have a chance of winning this. So I don't know if that's always made the fact that the season finishes sort of mid-November.
Yeah, maybe. There's a couple of other markets that are nice here. We'll have a quick look at these as well. The Team of the Year... 1-12 Davis Cup. Anyone can they be beat?
No,
England's women's team's 8-1. Leeds Rhinos 10-1. England's cricket team 16-1, of course. But it's fresh in the mind, isn't it? 12-1 on for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, they win. The one market I really like the look of here. I know you've put a few markets out, and Tyson Fury finishing position is a nice market.
I was just going to come on to this. This is beautiful. No, you go for it.
Yeah.
I just think
there's a bet in here. I think there's a bet in here. He's got first at 14-1, which I can't possibly see happening, given some of his outdated views.
Yeah.
Second to third is 9-2. Fourth to fifth, even money. 6-7, 3-1. 8th to 10th is 6-1. And 11th to 12th is 20-1. I think fourth to fifth, even money, is an absolute shoo-in.
Really? Why do you say
really
that?
I really believe it's a shoo-in. Because I think that Tyson Fury will obviously completely polarise opinion.
Right.
There's lots of boxing fans out there, which that even though there's been aspersions cast about Tyson Fury, and lots of them accurate as well, I think boxing fans will still vote for Fury based purely on achievement. Boxing has a history of doing incredibly well in this competition.
Don't you think so? No, not recently. Obviously, you've got the years when Joe Calzaghe won it.
Yeah.
But this is
Lennox Lewis won it as well.
I look absolutely fantastic, you know, fighter and well loved. No problem with that at all. Look, since then, you know, you look at David Haye, finished bottom of the pile in 2010. Now, he didn't win the heavyweight world. You know, it wasn't like he hadn't done what Tyson Fury's done in a sporting sense. Amir Khan, bottom of the pile in 2011. These are likable kind of guys. Mm. Now, you're right, the polarisation might give him more votes, to be fair. Look a little bit more recently. You know, look back to last year. Karl Froch, second bottom with, you know, 1.87% of the vote. Only Adam Peaty managed to finish further down than he did. I tell you what, DK, I'm looking at 8 to 12.
Are you really?
Really am. I think 6-1 and 20-1 the price is there. I get why you're saying 4th to 5th, because of the fact that some people might support him, but boxing fans don't like him. More people would have been cheering for Klitschko on the night from this country than they were cheering for him.
Right.
He's not a very well-liked person in the game.
Listen, I yield to your superior boxing knowledge as well, though.
I do worry about the 6th to 7th because of the reason that you're saying that. I don't think he can get 4th or 5th. I think we've got such a strong year that we've got, I think, Andy Murray, Jess Ennis-Hill, Kevin Sinfield, Lewis Hamilton and A.N. Other could finish higher than him.
I don't see A.N. Other. I don't see A.N. Other unless it's more Farah. I don't see Greg Rutherford, Adam Peaty, Lizzie Armitstead, Lucy Bronze, Max Whitlock pulling in the votes. I think you could go up to a lot of people that are going to watch Sports Personality on Sunday night and they won't know what sports that a lot of these people contend.
Yeah,
Adam Peaty, Lizzie Armitstead, Lucy Bronze and Max Whitlock.
Is it?
I don't think they'll know what sports they're involved in.
They won't at all. They'll get very minuscule votes. The other one I like is the match bet. There's been a bit of beef between Rutherford and Tyson Fury. 1-10, Fury beats Rutherford. I'd take the 6-1 again. I know people don't know Rutherford, but there might be a case that, and the way the BBC are building this is the forgotten man of Special Saturday 2012. He's done every time he goes to a major tournament. He's won everything. He's won the Olympics, the Commonwealth, the European, and now the World Championship.
I think the good thing with Rutherford is, as well, he's been captain on Question of Sport.
Good show.
On a couple of
occasions.
I like that
6-1. I like Fury to finish between 8th and 12th position, so you have to split your stakes, and Rutherford to beat him in a match bet at 6-1. No nice markets, though, right?
I think he'll do 4. I think he'll finish 4th to 5th personally, right. Even money. But listen, I'm being swayed by your argument. What do you think, Rob?
I'll be honest with you. I'm with DK here. I just can't see him finishing out the top. However, I think there'd be a gap between maybe the top two. I think the top two would be clear. I think Sinfield, Fury, Hamilton are fighting it out for 3rd, 4th and 5th, and then I just think there's too much of a gap. I can't see any. There's no campaign to get any of these bottom lot into the top five. I do think, though, we were talking just about boxing in general. I think the onset of Sky's pay-per-view is probably one of the reasons why some of the boxers don't do as well now.
Good show.
You look at somewhere like Lennox Lewis when he won. It was still sort of, I know it's on Sky, but you didn't pay any extra. Now you're having to pay 15, 20 quid to watch your Karl Froch's, even Anthony Joshua now and people like that. I just wonder if that's why.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Robbie, can people bet and play on Spotty?
They can bet and play, 6:50,
wow.
Sunday night.
Wow.
It's early. Getting ready for The Apprentice.
Indeed. And well done to AP McCoy, by the way, who'll be picking up his Lifetime Achievement Award as well. Rob, thanks for your time. We'll speak again for the Specials podcast.
Pleasure, mate.
And thank you, DK. Great to have you on.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck if you're having a bet on any of those spotty markets. As Rob said, all available in play as well on the night. So check them out on the TV Specials pages there. And make sure you listen to our other Specials podcast with the Strictly Come Dancing final and all those Christmas specials as well. If you're having a bet on Spotty this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.